Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may we encounter your living word. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning, St. Luke's. Perhaps today we should start with a little bit of an orientation, just in case things felt a little bit out of order in your mind as our gospel was read. After all, we just heard the story of Jesus' parents searching for him in the temple at age 12 just a few weeks ago. Then the following week, he was teaching and filled with the Spirit in the synagogue. And just last week, he was performing his first miracle at the wedding in Cana as an adult. So you would be right to question how we are back here. Because today, we have taken a step backward in our timeline to witness the baby Jesus being presented at the temple. It's a specific and significant moment in the life of his family, and even though it seems a bit odd to say something like this on February 2nd, our story today provides a much-needed bit of closure for me on the Christmas story that began on December 25th. The gospel opens this morning with, "When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." So if you wondered how we got here today with this baby, well, it's because the book of Leviticus told us so. With a clear reference to Levitical law, our gospel helps us understand a couple of important things today. First is that Jesus' family was publicly and faithfully adhering to the Jewish purification laws as a means of honoring their rituals and remaining in community, as this story marked the completion of the purification rite. The laws would have dictated a naming 7 days after birth, that's the Feast of the Holy Name, and a presentation for male firstborn children 33 days later. So it has been 40 days since Jesus' birth. And we also know that this was no small task for this family to come to the temple to complete this ritual. The writers in Luke, in taking this moment to highlight the Jewishness of Jesus' family, connects the story of God's promise in the heart of the Hebrew Bible to the hope of the new covenant, offering us a moment to pause this morning. The rite of purification, which has often been dismissed as antiquated or demeaning, is instead normalized for what it was, a time of healing and renewal that culminated in the dedication of a child in hope for their service to God. It's something that Mary and Joseph took very seriously. We can determine this because this ritual was so commonplace that it had its own type of economy. For a family to present their firstborn child, they would have needed to pay a 5-shekel fee. That's not mentioned in today's reading, but yes, there's a fee for that. And then they would need to make a sacrifice. And even though they could have paid their fee at their local synagogue, they chose to make a difficult journey to come to the temple and offer their sacrifice there. The gospel tells us that Mary and Joseph brought 2 turtle doves. Now, I'm sure this is conjuring up the same cute Christmas classic for you. You know the one, 2 turtle doves. You're welcome. These 2 turtle doves are an unavoidable detail for us this morning, because the fullness of the Levitical law would have called for the sacrifice of a lamb. And as an aside, if that was not possible, 2 turtle doves are 2 young pigeons. Because Mary and Joseph brought these 2 small birds, we know that they are poor. And that detail seems to matter a great deal to the writers today. So then, this is a story of a Jewish family on the margin, striving to live a faithful life. And despite the difficulty and fear that we know had they have encountered to this point, we can all imagine the hope that they have for the life of their new baby as they enter the temple, the hope that any family has for the life of their children and the world that will welcome them. With just a few more steps to take to complete the presentation, this young family is surprised by an interruption by Simeon and Anna, 2 old, long-time members of this temple. It's a curious meeting, in which these people who had spent their life in the temple fasting and praying and reading sacred texts that spoke of liberation and abstraction are moved by the Spirit to acknowledge the gulf between expectation and reality, and to see the hope in this baby being presented by his family. The Messiah that they have been praying for, this liberator that they have waited for, has come, and not with a sign of prosperity or power, but through an impoverished family. Literally, the divine becoming visible through the margins of society. Think about that. Our gospel tells us that Simeon took the child into his arms and praised God. And then the next thing that came was a song. The words Simeon sang spoke of release and peace, words of revelation, of a new liberation for all people, words that became known as the Nunc Dimittis, the song of Simeon that our tradition asks us to pray each night to end our prayers. Then the gospel tells us that Simeon offered a blessing, an expression of praise and joy, an acknowledgement of the promise fulfilled, that he could depart knowing that God's liberation is finally coming. Then, with what I like to imagine as a sense of urgency, Simeon spoke directly to Mary, saying, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." These are words to remember, words to hold close to our hearts when the world around us seems to be crumbling. Perhaps that's why we pray them every day. For Simeon's words remind us that this incarnation has social, political, and personal implications. Today, we are given the opportunity to see through Simeon's eyes, to look again into the innocent newborn face of Jesus, knowing that his unfolding life will stand in opposition to the powers and dominance of our world. And maybe that's all the motivation that we need to look into other faces. Faces of those walking miles, displaced from their homes by war, threats of violence, and natural disasters, only to find closed borders. Faces of those starving or undomiciled, learning that very needed support programs have been halted. Faces of those suffering and in need of care, to find that expert medical advice has been removed from the web and is now inaccessible. Faces of those striving to build a better life, only to find that liberty is no longer accessed equally for them. Faces of our LGBTQ siblings seeking love and acceptance, only to find their access to God-given dignity in question. Maybe today, we can use Simeon's words to help us look at these faces again, to see them, not as a threat to our abundance, but the blessing our God has always brought, to see in these faces the hope of a world transformed from the margins of society, to shake off our fear and see instead a liberation for us all, through us all. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Amen.